the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience beyond.
Prepare to meet your fate.
He's right.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Good evening, folks. This is I, the Surfer, here with another fun fact, jam-packed episode of What Are You Reading comic book show here on Rant EM Radio. And we are coming to you live. It is 5 p.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. I think that's what it's called. And we are live on a pay-per-view weekend. So, you know, after this show is over, there will be more fun-filled live episodes of here on Rant EM Radio with the pre-show for the WWE Fastlane hosted by Talk Brunch, Rick Darrer. But before that, let's talk some comic books. And I'm joined online, of course, by the award-winning co-host of this show. I don't know why he won and I didn't, but it's Jordan Cobb.
Because I have a dynamic personality that the people just love.
You got fake voter ID. And we're also joined by the host of tonight's WWE pay-per-view pre-show and post-show, Talk Brunch's own Rick Darrer.
What's up, true believers? How's everyone doing tonight?
Hey, I'm good.
Doing groovy. So, Jordan, how have you been this past week?
Good. Saw my lady yesterday for our anniversary. It was awesome.
Her again?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear about your lady.
Yeah.
Let's hear the boring details about how you're in love and you have such a wonderful woman. And
well, we don't have enough time for that. But, yeah, she's pretty fucking awesome.
I'm glad.
She's awesome that it would take the whole show to talk about it, Surfer.
Yeah, exactly.
This is just jealousy talking that you have such a woman that I don't have, you know. And that's all. Don't listen to me. Pay no attention to me. I mean, you don't let her call in and talk to me, but that's fine, you know.
She doesn't even really care that I do this show.
You think, you know.
She could give less of a shit about this.
You'd have both sides of your life come together eventually, you know. And eventually meet, but hey, if you want to keep things separate, okay.
Hey, again, she could give less of a shit about this radio show, man.
Some woman.
She look, it's like, hey, you don't care, that's fine, whatever. At least you support me, and that's fine.
I'm just saying, you know. But anyway, Rick, how have you? I haven't talked to you in a while. You haven't been on the show in a while.
Yeah, you lazy bastard.
Yeah, I've been busy. Well, Jordan, you could always come visit us. I haven't seen you around yet.
I'm usually talking to friends on Mondays. I don't know what happens.
Well, I'm a friend. Am I not a friend?
See, that's what I've been trying to tell Jordan. You know, we're supposed to be his friends, too, but...
I still listen to the damn show.
He gets friends, and if he gets other friends. But that's cool, you know. I'm not here to judge, you know. I'm here to talk comic books.
Look, whenever I get the free time, I'm going to come on Talk Brunch, okay?
All right, I'm going to write it down the way Surfer says. I'm writing it down. right over here on my little pad. Jordan. Cop talk brunch.
Yeah, eventually.
Sooner than later, right?
Let's just say eventually and just go with that.
Yeah, we can do that.
I'm trying to make my own thing happen, you know, well, get some things going.
You can listen to Talk Brunch tomorrow, but that's then. This is now. We're going to talk comic books. So people, if you're out there and you want to talk comic books with us, we'll be happy to take you onto this show. You can tell them how you can do that now, Jordan.
Well, you can join us. We got plenty to talk about, you know, especially something that is very heavily related to comics. So, excuse me. Lunch was acting up on me. So, you can join us on Skype, as Rick is. You can call and or add the contact SilverSurfer_forever on Skype. That's all lowercase, by the way, to help out your search. Or you can listen to the show live and be in the chat room with other fine folks like Stanley Kubrick, who's still bitter I rejected his Rocky script. But... you can join us and talk live and discuss the show or whatever the hell you want in the chat room and ask us questions. What, how and where? www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live. It is also at that same address, www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live. You can listen to us later on in the week if you, of a repeat of this show and a repeat of all the other fine shows that have just been broadcasted if you can't listen live. Although, if you can't quite come to this, I understand. You're busy. I'm busy. You know, people are it's a busy world. We gotta hustle to make it go. So there are numerous ways in which you can listen to this show and many others at your own time and convenience. You can go to Stitcher Internet Radio, Podbean. You can look up the show on Blog Talk. But of course, there is the almighty iTunes. Yes, the almighty iTunes. Open up iTunes today and search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcasting section and subscribe and while you're there, rate us 5 stars and leave a review. And yeah, this show, any show, whatever, just do it. It'll help us out greatly.
That's one hell of a plug that he has there, folks.
Yeah, and hey, you don't even have to pay anything. I mean, if you want, but that's not required.
All right, let's start with the box office because it's relevant. We got got some box office numbers. The top movie again for the second weekend in a row is Deadpool. Brought in $55 million this weekend. It's a 2-week total is now up to $235 million. And worldwide total is $491 million. I tell you, man, I'd have never thought Deadpool would be this kind of movie. Like, it, you know, had a budget like $58 million. You figure, okay, its total run would make maybe 80, 90, 100 million. And you'd be like, wow, that was a good run. Shit, man. I think the bar has been set so high this year, it's not even funny as far as box office goes.
It is killing it. Like, Batman and Superman now have got to step it up next month.
It really do. I mean, anything less than... $100 million is going to look as a failure.
Plus, there's been a bigger marketing blitz, you know, for Batman v Superman, so it's got a lot to recoup.
But the marketing on Deadpool, I mean, they really went all out.
That was brilliant. That's one of the better marketing campaigns of anything I've seen in a long time.
And Ryan Reynolds, he finally got a hit. He hasn't had one since forever.
Long ass time, I believe, is the quantifiable measurement of that.
You know, it looked like he couldn't open a movie. Like, he's done movies, and you'd figure, all right, Ryan Reynolds, people like him, you know? Good-looking guy. Get all the hot women and shit. He was married to Scarlett Johansson. He's married to Blake Lively. And
at some point, he's got to think, you need a new agent, dude. Whoever represents you is not the best option.
That motherfucker couldn't open dirt. But he got one this time. And that's, the question is, can he follow this up? Is that Deadpool?
I think he can. Even in the shittier films Ryan Reynolds has been in, Ryan Reynolds has been a positive because he has that charisma and charm about him that can hold the screen and make you interested. Even in something you know, as real shitty as R.I.P.D.
That Deadpool and Cable, man, it better come correct. So, there's other movies we can talk about, of course. Second place was Kung Fu Panda. Brought in $12.5 million. Its total is now up to $117 million. I think Kung Fu Panda is kind of being helped by Deadpool.
Because you got parents going into the pools like, well, I never.
No, I think kids are buying Kung Fu Panda and sneaking into Deadpool.
Well, that's smart. That's smart thinking, kids.
I know. I would have done it.
Yeah, except I would have too. Except I'm a grown adult now, and I can go into R-rated movies with no problem.
What about you, Rick? Did you used to do that when you was a youth? Did we lose Rick?
Rick?
Sorry about that. Yeah, I could pretty much see whatever I wanted when I was to the movie. We never really looked at ratings like that. It's weird how it's become more of a sensitive topic, I feel like, in today's generation.
In the 80s, when I was a little kid, it was like, if you didn't look old enough, they didn't just sell you a ticket to an R-rated movie.
I rarely ever got carded for an R-rated movie. I remember, like, one of the only times that ever really happened for me is was opening night of Watchmen. When me and my older brother went to go see Watchmen, it was a last-minute thing, because we didn't think we'd be able to see it that week, and it was like, oh, shit, something opened up. We're going, yeah. And then we get there, it's like, yo, we actually do need to see IDs this time. Because the cinema market in Texarkana before, and, well, even still kind of now, don't give a shit.
The last movie I got carded for was Porky's.
I remember that. Yeah, well, you need to. I mean, as much as I don't think ratings were a thing back then, if you were underage, should you really be going to see Porky's?
If you're underage, if you didn't see Porky's,
everybody in my age group was killing to go see Porky's. And they were
when I was younger, we had Porky's on VHS just in the house, and I just popped it in one day and watched it. Okay, we never really ratings the way it is nowadays, where it's like
the rating system back in the 80s was screwed up, because it's like, man, Poltergeist fucked me up. What's that rated? Oh yeah, PG.
But when Porky's was in the theater, they were strict not to let people under 17 in without a parent.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, but you gotta figure some of them fell through the cracks. I mean,
and the last movie is Star Wars. It's still chugging along, 8th place, brought in $3.8 million.
I hope it makes its money back.
I know its total's only a disappointing $921 million.
Man,
and
guys, I really want a Star Wars sequel. Go see this movie.
It only made $2 billion worldwide. I mean, it was supposed to knock out Avatar. It's a failure.
Oh, man. Why don't you guys support great indie movies, you dicks?
And, yeah, that's it. I mean, got Zoolander 2. Nobody gives a fuck about that.
Yeah, I don't even care.
There's Risen. That could be considered a superhero movie, you know, seeing Jesus come back from the grave. But
do a Zoolander 2. I mean, that's ridiculous. I'd rather watch
I can tell you why.
Zoolander.
Hey, I can tell you why, Rick. Ben Stiller needed a mortgage payment.
Oh, man.
You know, I don't think Ben still needed the money that bad. He has other projects that he could do than fucking Zoolander. But anyway, let's get off that bullshit.
Yeah,
let's talk some television.
And we got to start.
We got to start with the new one. The new joint came back one last week. The Return of the Walking Dead.
The most polarizing show on TV, I swear to God.
They did No Way Out this week.
Yeah, they finally did it. It was the second half of the No Way Out storyline. And I think it was great. I think they did a really good job with it.
Well, they caught us up with what was going on with Daryl and his gang on the road with Negan's men. And how they got themselves out of that particular situation, because it looked a little bleak. Because Negan's men, they already came across as being dicks. And
well,
this shit belonged to Negan. Am I saying it right? It's Negan, right?
Yeah, Negan. Hey, that nacho, Negan's. Hey, that lint in your pocket, yeah, it's Negan's.
Jordan, I got one question for you.
Yeah.
Who's Negan?
Negan is the
man. Abraham cracked me up when he's like, Who's Negan? Who the fuck is Negan?
Who the fuck is this bitch?
Yeah, be careful, Abraham.
Negan, if you have a, if for those unaware of The Walking Dead, he is the one person that makes the governor look like a little schoolgirl bitch. He is bad goddamn news.
And of course,
it's difficult to dislike him. He has like a charming personality.
Exactly. He's honestly one of the best villains I think that's ever been created. I will stand by that. So ever created.
Okay, now. He's currently still in the comic book, correct?
Very much so, yes.
All right, so how long will he last on the TV show, per se? Considering, A, the actor they have is probably somebody whose demand is... Like, for him to stay on a TV show for season after season, I don't know if that's possible or not.
You are referring to Jeffrey Dean Morgan, of course.
Correct.
Well, okay, he debuted in the infamous issue 100... They're just about to hit issue 150, so he has staying power.
Well, I'm saying as far as the television show goes.
I'm not,
does he last a season? Does he last two seasons?
Well, he's going to be...
character like that to wipe him away right away. I think he's a long-term character.
No, he's going to be long-term, because he's only getting introduced, fully in the season 6 finale, and he's going to be, has to be... a continuing presence into season 7. He has to be.
Okay, we know he's going to be part of season 7. That's no doubt.
Okay.
The question is, hold on, let me finish. Is he going to be 7, 8, and 9? Is he just going to be part of 7 and then he'll be resolved by the end of the season at some point?
Do Negan in a season? That's stupid. Take him to 8. Take him to 8.
If it's anything like the comic books, there should be an off season for Negan. Where he's not around, where he's indisposed, you could say, and then they can bring him back. There is possible to have a half a season or even a full season of no Negan, or where they just show him occasionally.
Yeah,
I don't know what guys spoil of the comic books here, so I'm being careful of what I'm saying.
Well, I think with the character of Negan, it's like, go big or go home, because he's such an imposing presence and an important presence now in the Walking Dead mythology.
Okay, it's like this. As far as the comic book goes, okay, you say he's been around for like 50 issues, but that 50 issues, time wise, could be a month. Like, all that can take place in a month's time. We don't know. We don't know how long of a time period.
I'm going to be very careful about this, but in the comic books, there's a time jump.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Fine. But I'm saying with television. Like, once you go from one season to the next, there's maybe not that much time as far as, when season 7 ends and season 8 starts, it could be a few minutes in time, but at some point you got to catch time up. So if he's around, I don't know if he can be around for 3 or 4 seasons and like he can in the comic book. Anyway,
for what reason?
It just might be something they just can't work out. I mean, I don't know. We'll find out.
I'm into this deal without being able to work it out. Again, there's a point in the comic book where Negan, I won't spoil why, but Negan is a bit indisposed and he's isolated in one location for a duration of time. I'll just say that much.
Okay. Yeah, and
film all of those scenes of that season all in a couple of shots. Man. Like, he's not going to always be roaming around. So there's off time for Negan. He doesn't have to be in every episode going forward.
And we get back to Alexandria, and of course, the gang is trying to get through the mega herd, and so they're walking through with their little chain. They got their little zombie gut spread on so they can be camouflaged.
Well, before you get into that, don't skip the best thing. The epilogue from last year segues into this year, and we get Darrow and company with those guys. Remember how they...
No, I just mentioned that.
Yeah, it was the one entertaining Darrow moment in forever.
Exactly.
I said that Darrow and them got out of the little situation with Negan's men.
Yeah, I know.
Darrow and them got out of their little situation with Negan's men. Like, something awesome happened here. He used a rocket launcher, and he blew them all to Kingdom Come. There was a big explosion. All there was left were sneakers and skulls.
Yeah. Okay. that the funny part was when that happened, before you see Daryl with the rocket launcher, I thought maybe they didn't realize that when they handed over the weapons, that there was some kind of grenade in there. They didn't realize they handed to these people. But then, you know, here come Daryl. You got this fucking big-ass human rocket launcher on his shoulder. And they're like, all right. And the destruction, like, you just see pieces of human flesh charred everywhere. And the one god leader, you see half his face is laying on the ground.
Yeah, crazy. And what I love about this, what I love about The Walking Dead is that they've done this a couple of times. They did this to Joe when Rick wound up having to rip his throat out with his teeth, where they create these characters that almost feel like they're meant to be more than they are. Like, this might be a long-term guy. This guy has some personality. This is like another villain we're going to have for a while. And then poof, gone, dead, moving along. Because I really thought that that little group was going to have a role going forward. They didn't just make them seem like they were a bunch of redcoats.
Like 10... less than 10 minutes of screen
time. Well, also, if
you count the little 4-minute trailer they showed at the end of last season, and then the 6 minutes of this, I could have ran to the bathroom quicker.
Yeah, well, it's almost like Terminus. I remember when we first heard about Terminus, we thought this is where the next season's going to be. There's going to be a big arc in Terminus. It's probably going to be the entire year of us talking about Terminus. Season premiere comes, they're in Terminus, and it was all resolved in that one episode. We literally visited Terminus, saw everything Terminus had to offer, and destroyed Terminus in an hour.
I didn't think Terminus was going to be something long-term. I mean, they're in a situation where they're being trapped by cannibals. Unless they're going to actually show them getting hauled off one by one and chewed up.
That's what some of us thought. Some people are under the impression that it would at least be half a season where every now and then they come and take someone away, and who's going to get taken next, how they're going to get out of here. But it didn't go that way at all. So I do like in this series how it doesn't always have to go by the books, and sometimes the villains only last a few minutes or a few hours.
And so they're trying to get away, and the Andersons, I tell you, they had to go, and they went. And you, Rick, you kept saying how they, you know, they went out horrifically in the books. And Sam.
Oh yeah, poor Sam. He didn't wet himself in this version. He just sort of froze and freaked out.
Should have stuck by. You should have kept your mouth shut and asked for more cookies, because.
Should have stayed behind with. Well, then for all we know, he would have got Father Gabriel killed and Judith, because he would have froze with them, and then Rick would have lost his daughter.
Now, I did notice, right, when he started to freeze, and they're showing all the close-ups of the zombies, they showed it from a perspective more differently from what they've been showing these zombies. Like you actually saw in a way you would see in an actual horror movie. Mm-hmm. Like they really changed the perspective of what a kid would see with the grossness and all the slime slewing out the mouth, and you know, uh-huh. like they really showed you what a child would see in a zombie apocalypse, as opposed to us as adults. I mean, we just see decaying bodies, but Sam saw these monsters as you know, most frightening things you could see. And I think they really got that over for us as the viewer.
Yeah, and also Carol's words came back to haunt him. Remember when he found out that Carol was in the armory taking guns, and mm-hmm. she told him, you know, that you could keep this a secret and I can give you cookies all the time, or you can tell your mother and you can wind up in the woods tied to a tree and they'll come and eat you, and no one will ever know what happened to you. And as he's walking, he hears those words, and then he sees the child walker. And I think those things combined, he had like a frozen moment, and it was his end. What I wanted to ask you guys, though, was what's your take on the whole Jesse thing, her reaction? Do you think that she freaked out, not realizing for a moment she lost herself, not realizing that her screaming would cause her to die too? Or do you think at that point she gave up and didn't care?
I think she just reacted she just reacted to the fact she's losing a son in a horrific way.
Yeah, I
don't think, sorry, I'll let you talk in a second. For all Rick, right. Like, even he would have lost his shit if had Carl been attacked. Like he wouldn't have been able to keep quiet and get out of that situation. Dude, he would have lost his shit also.
He kept quiet when Carl took the bullet to the eye, though. I think Rick would have stayed composed just because of the way that Rick is. Not that he wouldn't have been losing it on the inside, but I think that I don't think Rick ever loses perspective on what he is and what he's doing. And I feel like Jesse did. But when I went back and watched it again, I couldn't help but notice when she's being devoured, it sort of looks like she just gave up. She's not struggling or doing any of the things one of the survivors would normally do. She's just being
eaten.
Well, here's what I think.
Well, here's what I think. It's like, look, one, I totally would have the same reaction. It's like, my boy, like, I'd be all like Cedric Diggory's dad at the end of Goblet of Fire. My boy! You know, like, what the and all that. Because that's how my brain works. And also, yeah, I totally don't blame her. It's like, I was going to say this overall. I'm not a totally big fan of the episode, but I think it's one of the better moments. It was like that reaction right there, like that whole sequence. It was like that was totally honest, but I wasn't expecting it to happen that soon. No. And when I thought they might have changed it up, but I was like, okay, cool.
Well, I didn't think that they. I thought they would wait since Jesse wasn't as established of a character. It was a little less gruesome.
That is very much true. I felt her death way more in the comics than I did here on the show.
Yeah, she was struggling, her hand was hanging out. She screamed to Rick, "You're leaving us!"
And also had that great moment where Abraham found her when she was reanimated and whatnot.
Yeah, right afterwards, and she's all messed up. And I think one of the words on the screen is "glug" because she's like covered in goo. And it was just gruesome. And he had to blow half her head off and get rid of.
Rick can't see
what that mega her did was okay. At the beginning of this season and end of last season, Rick's whole idea was, these people, they're not ready for this. They're not going to survive this. They're going to get us all killed because they're soft, right? This mega herd purged the entire town of everybody who was not capable of surviving in this world. Everybody that was soft got wiped out in these last few episodes. Period. Everybody that fought back and brought the town back, they're the ones that can go forward and Rick knows he can count on them. We can survive this. Any thoughts on that idea?
We could say that, but you can never really tell for sure in these situations. Because look at Carol. If the old version of Carol would have been in Alexandria, we would have taken her as one of those survivors that would have never made it. I would have never imagined Carol becoming the elite person that she is. She's my favorite character. She was given the opportunity to grow and survive. Who knows if some of those people would have made it and they would have been other people like that. It's just unfortunately they weren't given that opportunity because something like that horde that came through, that's a really serious thing. But the characters that were able to survive for at least a duration.
But saying some stepped up. And did what they had to do to get past this. And some did not.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't given that opportunity. They were in Alexandria that entire time. Maybe if that mega herd didn't come when it did and they were given a couple more years with Rick, maybe they would have become like Andrea or they would have become like Carol or the other characters that used to not be that way. It's just that it was too late at that point. But we can't say for sure that all of them would have been totally useless because they started to come around. Even Tobin.
Come on now, Sam and Ryan... They wouldn't have survived, period. I mean, they just, both of them were very ill-equipped to last long.
It strikes me as like, I'm a man.
I get it with Sam. Like, he's just a little kid, and he was sheltered for too long from what's going on as opposed to, like, Carl. Carl was there from the beginning. He knew, Carl was strengthened as a child. From the start, like they was telling him, look, you're going to have to do things to survive. And he took to it. He understood it. Sam was never going to get that message in time. Even if he had survived, he wouldn't survive much longer. And then Ron, I mean, I hate using this term, but the boy was a bitch. He was. He is.
Ron was like that. Teenage boys, I was like, yeah, I'm a man. I want to assert myself. Yeah, I got the biggest dick in this yard. Who wants to fight me? And all that. It was like, shut the hell up.
In the comic book, there is no Sam. There's only Ron. And Ron's the little kid.
Ron is... I didn't care for Ron. I just didn't care for the set of raising Ron. I was like, whatever. Don't give a shit.
What do you think about the way they swerved us with the Carl thing? Carl gets his eye blown away.
Yeah, they finally get to that.
Which way do you prefer? The comic book way he gets his eye blown away?
I kind of prefer the comic book way, because let me say, as much as I like this sequence, that seems so damn contrived to get to that moment.
It made more sense, though, since they were building up the feud between the two of them for the longest time. And just to go over the comic book way that things went, it would have been Deanna, but they gender swapped her because it's Douglas Monroe in the comic book.
Yeah,
and
but
scene where Douglas goes down, Deanna in the show firing happened outside on the porch, and one of her bullets goes wild and hits Carl. The reason I like that is because in the show, Deanna was all about leadership and all about bringing the community together. I think it would have taken away from her the character if her demise caused Carl to lose his eye. So I'm glad that in this version she just dies with some dignity, I guess, because we don't even really see her last moments. And then it's actually done by someone who's a douchebag.
Well, I just don't like how it was done on a TV show. I was like, okay, yeah, shocking, but looking back, and I was rewatching, I was like, man, this was such a contrived setup. I was like, oh no, Jesse, oh no, Sam, accident. I was like, there could have been a much better way to get to that moment.
Do you think there
honestly could have been?
I wanted to know, do y'all think, are y'all satisfied that it only took one episode to resolve the no way out situation, or you thought it should have lasted a couple more episodes before they got rid of the mega herd?
I think that if they were going to have Jesse, Ron, and Sam die immediately, mm-hmm. it should have all been done in before they went on break. That should have everything saw should have been one episode instead of giving it the Morgan origin, then the split, then coming back after break and finishing it. Because I thought that break meant that we were going to keep them around and this was going to be a long term thing. But really, they came back from break to have the conclusion to that storyline.
Yeah, so maybe I feel like it's good that they did it here. It's like, I could only see it really going over into one more episode before it's like, okay, we got, okay, now let's get going. Let's get to the rest of the season. Let's see what else you got.
I think people would have lost their shit if they had it. If, like, let's say it didn't get resolved last week. And so the episode ended. There's still the mega herd. People still in their homes hiding. And then you get an episode or two where people just sitting around talking while the zombie herd is still outside, and I'm wondering what we're going to do next.
Yeah, Rick and company are holding hands, going from place to place. Like, it's like, all right, we made it to the other. Now we got to take hands again and go over to the eatery and get some food so we could survive. And then just from spot to spot until eventually getting nipped off one by one. I wouldn't have dragged it along either.
Yeah, even if they'd have traveled from building to building like that, that's more intense than if they went from one building to the next and then they sat there for an episode or two talking. Now, kudos to Father Gabriel. He manned up for once in his life. He can live now. Which is now the reason why he's probably going to die, because I've given him my stamp of approval, because he stepped forward as a man and said, I'm going to go out and help, huh?
Wait, I think that was
a drastic departure from the comic books, though, because Father Gabriel is a long-term guy. We all know that.
He's still kicking it.
Well, y'all got to let that go, like, if they're long-term in the comic.
Kirkman said they're going to try to go closer to the comic books now, and they've shown that by getting back on track with the Alexandria storyline. Aside from a few minor changes, like Sasha being swapped with Andrea,
even Eugene, you know, manned up for a minute or two. You know, he was like, "Yeah, I can't check out. I may be cowardly, but this is the time where I got to step forward and do what I got to do." And of course, they teased us again about Glenn looking like he was about to bite the bullet.
I'm getting sick of that shit.
Yeah, they're teasing it, which is why I don't think he's going to be in that situation that he gets into later on. I think they're going to swap that with Daryl because it would make more sense. As far as just to go to Father Gabriel before we jump into Daryl, because I know there's a lot of theories on Daryl and Glenn and all of that. The Father Gabriel thing, I wish they would have changed that a little bit and given him what he was supposed to get there. Because we all remember Father Gabriel's storyline is that he was in the church when all of his people were banging on the door, but he was too much of a chicken shit to open the door and he let them die out there. And this was supposed to resolve that because they were going to be banging on the door again. The Alexandrians were going to bang on the door. But this time, he lets them in. And that was supposed to be his moment of manning up, where he sort of righted what he did wrong last time. So I do like the Judith thing, but it didn't close his arc the way that him having the same situation happen. I'm in a new town. People are banging on the church and the door's locked again. This time, I'm doing the right thing. I opened the door and brought the character full circle.
Once he took Judith, whatever happened in the comic book had to change because...
Yeah.
You know, Judith is not going to die on camera.
No, definitely not. I mean, Judith in the comic book, we know the situation with that. But they would never do anything like that here.
I vividly remember it.
Judith should be walking by now. Like, how is it? I she should be old enough to walk at this point.
It hasn't been that long of a time.
I don't understand babies, but okay.
It hasn't been years in this show.
It's been long enough that she should be able to walk. From the time Lori had the baby till now, she should be old enough to walk. Now, I mean, not like walk okay. but she should be in that walking stage at this point.
Okay, if anyone in the chat room watches Walking Dead and understands how babies work, let us know in the comments.
Most babies start walking anywhere between nine months and 16 months.
If anybody in the chat knows how the babies
now,
work,
how old should Judy be at this point?
One and a half.
Should be at least a year, right?
No, it has not been a year. Definitely not.
It hasn't. So all the time. In the prison. On the road.
Time within The Walking Dead is a very warped concept that is not very
months
well
have by.
Jordan, do you have a place for somewhere we can find out the duration of time of The Walking
Dead? I imagine The Walking Dead, the separate Walking Dead wiki might have something on that.
Because I want to know, how many seasons has it been? How long have they been?
Okay, well, this is season 6. We're in season 6 right now.
No, I mean seasons, like weather seasons. In Rick's world, how many seasons have they been out there on the road surviving?
I don't
Has it gone from cold to hot more than once?
They've had at least two cold
seasons. Have we ever really seen them take on any sort of wintry...
I have not.
I haven't seen it.
Before they got to the prison... They was talking about how it was getting cold, and they were worried about shelter just before they found the prison. Now it's had to have been at least a year since that baby was born. A year has at least a year has gone by. It hasn't been months. It's been longer than a few months.
Well, what do you think they're gonna do as far as her situation goes overall? Because now we have another character like Carol. Another character like Daryl that essentially doesn't exist. They could develop her any way they want.
Let's keep doing Carol since they clearly have no idea. Since they're clearly not going to let Daryl change at all. And by the way, just to go back real quick, yeah, the whole Glenn almost by.
We also have another time judger because Maggie's knocked up.
Oh, yes, right.
So, at some point, when she has that child, we know 9 months went by.
Yeah, they ain't gonna have... Yeah, they don't have an
excuse. Unless she loses it, you know.
Yeah, they don't have an excuse now. They gotta show, actual
they can't
time
say,
passing.
They can't say only a month went by, and she...
Right, but this whole season...
Okay, you know what's gonna happen? We're gonna see a winter month, but it's gonna be in a montage of Maggie's pregnancy, and it's gonna go by real quick, and then we're back to sunny days.
This whole season we're in has been about 48 hours. You know what I mean? Like, literally, they've been flashing back and forth.
I understand what's going on with this herd. It's been a matter of days.
Yeah,
but
time doesn't go by that fast in the series.
But since that child's birth, has it been more than a couple of months?
I don't think so. I don't think it has, honestly.
Walking Dead, do you understand how time works? Come on.
Well, I guess at some point we'll find out. I mean, I mean, because freaking... How old is Carl supposed to be at this point?
15?
Okay. Right. In the book, he's about what?
Yeah, he's grown a bit.
I mean, his growth, you can't hide that. Like in the comic book, he can still stay perpetually 10, 11, 12, how old he's supposed to be.
But in the show, you can't. I mean, that's a problem, though. That's a production problem. It's not really so much as a story problem. It's almost like Game of Thrones. They're going through the same thing right now, where, like, Brandon Stark is way older looking than he's supposed to be. A lot of the younger cast, they're just shooting up.
But at some point, adults, puberty kicks in, and a kid goes through a growth spurt, and they can't insist that he's 12, and he looks like he's 18.
Yeah, when that happens, I'm sure they're going to make the necessary adjustments.
I watch Once Upon a Time, and the kid on there, like every so often, when the show comes back, they say, yeah, 6 months, a year went by. What? Because the kid who's the judge of time on that show grows up. He looks a lot bigger, which each season, than he has in the previous season. So they can't insist that he's only 11, 12 years old when he's clearly 15 or 16.
Right.
Now they can subtract a year or two on his age from how old he really is, but you can only subtract so much off his age. They still have to say, all right, so 8 months went by because he's now like 2 inches taller.
Hey, you know, at some point, you know, I want the real question to be asked at the next San Diego Comic Con. It's like, how does time work?
So, so I don't think anybody's going to really die tonight.
That's kind of my problem. It's like,
I don't have a problem of not having people die all the time.
Well, it's like, look, but there are plenty of people that kind of feel safe, and a show that should have like big high end stakes. I'm like, I want like a sense of dread.
Well, I think what they like to do is have
were covered in zombie guts walking through the town, and children were eaten alive along with their mother. What more fucking dread do you need, man?
How long before Dr. Dre dies?
Well, he does have that 24 show that
Heath. Talking about Heath.
Yes.
Yeah, Heath. Corey Hawkins.
Long termer too, right?
Well, yeah, but hey, he's got that lead on the 24 show, so he's gone.
Oh, great!
Well, unless they just recast and be like, no one will notice.
Well,
they better recast. Enough is enough with this nonsense. They keep killing off and swapping in the new black guy, but Heath is supposed to stay. They need to cut that out.
It's not like Walking Dead's full season, so you know he could probably do both shows.
Well, 24
is not 24 is a limited show also. So,
and we don't know how many episodes 24 Legacy has been ordered for, so...
I believe in the comic book, Heath and Dr. Denise get together, right? But it looks like in the show, she's a lesbian, so... I
guess okay. Legacy will consist of 12 episodes.
Well, maybe, you know, the doctor goes both ways. Who knows?
Yeah.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
A spin-off series, The Walking Dead Night Calls.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's make sure it doesn't become like Baywatch Nights, because that was a disaster.
Yeah, you didn't like when they were fighting monsters?
By the way, I should know, it's probably the first time in a long time someone's actually mentioned Baywatch Nights.
And the wolf got his, finally.
Like, believe it or not, Jordan, that isn't the first time we talk about it regularly.
I'm aware.
That whole situation with the wolf, did they drag that out too long with him?
I did not. Man, I don't give a shit about the roles. I thought they were supposed to be like a stand-in for the Saviors, which is what, you know, Negan leads. But now it's just like, but they're not, and...
We're a stand-in for that group that showed up in the comics at the Gates of Alexandria, and Andrea would be Sasha.
Although, can I be...
Shot their finger from the tower.
Although, I'm glad they're done with the wolves. I did not care for that, especially that creepy-looking dude that was around for these past few episodes.
One of the things...
Yeah?
I'm going to be very... disappointed if Carol and you know loses her life at the hands of
Morgan.
Yes.
What would make you think that was going to happen?
Because they've already I've read where their situation is not over. Like their conflict is not done yet. And so Carol's never going to trust Morgan, and Morgan's not going to let Carol get over on him. So
no, I agree, because it's like, look, they're two volatile people. Oh, and Blonde Shell in the chat room says, Julie should be waddling at one. So
I think that
it hasn't been 1 year, though.
We don't know. Jeez, it could have been 2 years, and she's just, like, well behind.
Maybe she's autistic? Is that what you're saying?
That's not what okay, I'm autistic, too. Why do you think I'd be saying that about my own people?
I don't know. Why would you? You're implying
something. Why would I?
Something has to be wrong with her, right? If you're saying that she's behind, what other way would she be behind?
Well, it's...
I don't want to say that she's
behind.
Some children are late bloomers.
I think they don't have time to properly teach her.
Late bloomer. I just don't think that much time has gone by. I don't think that just there's something wrong with her.
I think we said all we need to on this.
Yeah, we basically implied there's something wrong with Judith.
No. I'm just saying, like, I think there's been at least close to a year time since she's been born. So, but no, anyway,
well, let's find out. Anyone in the chat, find out, or anyone listening, research and let us know how much time has gone by in The Walking Dead. We'll try to come up with an answer sometime later this week.
Yeah, she should be crawling from the zombies or something, you know? I mean, like.
Oh, okay. I kind of want to see that now. Baby crawling away from the zombies. Oh, that'd be awesome.
As far as the other TV shows, I have to say, a lot of the episodes, they seem like a lot. Like, a lot didn't happen, but at the same time, it seemed like these episodes were very long and storytelling, like. Flash. Let's get to that. Nothing really happened in the Flash, but it just seemed like watching that particular episode, it seemed like it was a long period of time from start to finish as to, you know, you got Wells and Cisco, and they're being chased by Zoom, and they got Earth 2 Barry, who don't have a clue as to what's going on. He's pretty fucking annoying with this. What is this? What's going on? And then on top of that, how does a nerd like Earth 2 Barry get somebody as hot as Iris as a wife?
Surfer, it's all about a charming personality, good sense of humor, and really understanding the person.
Bullshit.
Just knowing them.
Now, I guess the difference between Earth 1 Barry and Earth 2 Barry is Earth 2 Barry had the balls to say, hey, I like you, let's get together, where Earth 1 Barry just stood back the whole time.
Yeah, that's what I think
and,
it is.
And didn't get on with. But, yeah, so Flash is captured by Zoom, being held in Zoom's little hideout with Jesse Quick, who's the daughter of Harrison Wells from Earth 2.
And the man in the iron helmet, who we have no idea who the hell that is.
Well, it can only be two people.
Who?
Well, it's either the real Jay Garrick, which
I hope it isn't.
Which then the Jay Garrick we've seen is an imposter. It's possible.
Or he's being blackmailed with whoever's being held within the cell.
No. Because he's trying to tap out the name Jay Garrick. The other choice is that's Ronnie Raymond from Earth One. Hello? I think Skype is acting up already.
Jordan's gone. We lost Jordan.
No.
Not hello? Yet.
Okay.
There he is. Yes.
Yeah, my internet briefly cut out. Who were you saying it also could be, Surfer?
Ronnie Raymond. That's Earth 1, Ronnie Raymond.
Who?
Ronnie Raymond. Earth 1, Ronnie Raymond.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like after they closed the, you know, supposedly closed the breach, and he got separated as part of Firestorm, he could have got captured by Zoom, and that's who that is. I mean, what seems a more viable answer. That's the real Jay Garrick, or that's Ronnie Raymond. That's just my theory as far as Ronnie Raymond.
You know I don't do internet theories anymore because some of them are just so fucking stupid. But what I found interesting is like, what if that's Jay Garrick's dad?
Who's Jay Garrick's dad?
Joseph Garrick. They were really close together.
Okay, I didn't know Jay Garrick had a dad in the comics.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody has a dad, but I didn't know he was a character. Okay.
Yeah, World War One vet, died in the war. His helmet inspired Jay's helmet. You know, worked at Keystone Motors and would spend almost every time not working with Jay just to be, you know, good dad, all that.
So why would he have Jay Garrick's father?
To blackmail him into helping, to blackmail him by holding him prisoner as well, to keep... Fuck it, to keep Jay, be like, yo, if Wells fails, I'm going to need you.
That doesn't
just
explain,
to make sure, to kidnap your dad.
It doesn't explain the mask.
Yeah, well, none of it does. All right, it's like, look, I'm about damn ready to finally get some answers as to who the hell Zoom is. You can only keep it going for so long. And again, well, I'm not theorizing, so that way.
Right, so we know it's not one bear. Earth 2 Bear, we know it's not him now. He's been eliminated. No. Now, there's still the theory that it's Barry's father.
Yeah, Henry. Earth 2 Henry Allen.
Right.
I'm not theorizing because that way, for me, it'll be so much more shocking and better for me when the reveal is made for both of them, for both the Man in the Iron Helmet and...
Now, one of the things about Flashes. He has not been getting any faster as of lately. It's like the whole thing is he gotta get faster. But they're not showing him get faster at this point. Like, what makes him any? Why? How's he any faster? Yeah, sometimes he can run and run back in time, but he's not running faster than normal. Like he still. We get outran in a foot race against Zoom. Not to mention, he doesn't seem like he can keep up with Reverse Flash at this point.
Well,
so there's a little inconsistency in his speed.
I'll say this about Escape from Earth 2. I really dug it. I think I like the first part a little bit better.
The episode was good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Much didn't happen. So I don't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
The whole Earth 2 two-parter to me just overall is one of the best things this show's done.
But they fucked up that whole show at the end. And you could see it coming, and you just knew what was going to happen. It's like, okay, everybody gets through the breach, close the breach, and then Zoom's going to be trapped on the other side, and our heroes are going to be safe.
You got to have tension, man.
And
you
then...
gotta have-
Here come Jake Garrick. Hey, let me walk in front of the breach and act like everything's fine now, even though the breach isn't closed yet. Like an idiot, so I can stand
there. Okay, hold on. He was just zooming around it, so when he stopped, it seems reasonable that he would stop near or in
front of it. Listen, he threw the device in. You step the fuck back. You don't stand and hover near the opening. And it's like, oh, let me turn my back to it. Everything's fine now. It hasn't fully closed, but...
Surfer, allow me to explain something.
No, that was a weak
situation. Okay, allow me to explain something. Sometimes people gotta be stupid in order to move plot along, and you get... Look...
No, that goes beyond stupid.
Well, look, you've seen this done millions of times. It's trying...
Right, because it's stupid.
Look, it's building tension, and it's trying to make sure it's like we got to end big on this. Like, what better way than that? That's a great cliffhanger.
It was telegraphed. It was the whole situation was telegraphed. He throws the device and then stands in front of the breach.
Yes,
I'm waiting. Let me wait to get snatched into the breach.
Yes, it was telegraphed. I'm not denying that, but I still liked it. I was like, oh damn.
I thought it
also needed to happen because in order to really further sell how dangerous Zoom is And by the way, this two-parter did a great job at reintroducing Zoom as being like, oh yeah, he's still around. He's still nothing to, you know, fuck with. Yeah.
Now, the other thing about Zoom, okay? Zoom's supposed to be... Zoom is so powerful. Why is it taking him so freaking long to just beat Flash? I mean...
Okay, did you just forget this season overall? He wants the Flash to build up. Hold on.
He wants the speed. I get it.
Yeah, he wants him to build up. He wants the Flash to get as fast as he ever could, like the fastest he's ever gone. Then he's going to kill him, so that way he'll have much more speed to steal from him. He's playing a cat and mouse game with the Flash. That was established last year.
Well, when they finally reveal who the hell Zoom is, this better be somebody to blow me the fuck away. It really.
I'm at the point now. As much as I'm loving the show, it is still the best superhero slash comic book based show on TV. I'm ready to get some answers. I want to know who the hell Zoom is. Tell me already.
Arrow wasn't much as far as the overarching story.
Yeah.
But it was okay. It was a nice one-off. Now, what was the name of the group they were dealing with? Because I'm not sure who they were personally.
Meh. It was. Yeah, I think the Demolition Crew are DC canon. I'll look it up just to make sure. But again, this episode was just an average. Like, Demolition Team. That's DC canon. They first appeared in Green Lantern 176. Anyway, it's just meh. This episode was so meh. Although I will say this, they finally made the flashbacks interesting that they killed Conklin, who I did not give one iota of a shit about.
Now, Ollie doesn't learn from his past mistakes at all. Now, Merlin said, I'm going to fucking make you pay, right?
Yeah.
At that point, Oliver should be smart enough to keep his fucking eye on what the fuck Michael Merlin is doing. Because Michael Merlin has already fucked Ollie over by serving up Ollie's son William to Damian Dark. So now Damian Dark has Ollie's son. Where's the mom? Is the mom dead? Is she the one in the grave?
I don't know.
Is that what we're going to find out? I mean...
Or maybe it's the kid. Maybe they killed the kid.
No, the kid's not dead because, you know, they brought the kid... The kid could end up being the one in the grave.
Yeah, I was about to say, because this is not at the same time.
I still think it's Felicity's mom in that grave.
Because
she was... Because when they came back from the break and Ollie got in the car, she was fucking pissed. She was like, yeah, make that motherfucker... That motherfucker needs to die.
Kill him.
And I don't see her being like that for a little boy that she doesn't know. Or for the boy's mother. Okay, her mother is a different story.
Yes.
And, you know, she's been part of this whole season, you know. Been rubbing up on Quentin Lance and planning weddings and being... It's set up for her to get caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
Ollie would feel the pain of that, but he's like, look, it's not his fault, but he's going to make Damian Dark pay.
He will. Yeah, and it'll be something. Yeah. This week really further highlight. I don't give a damn about these flashbacks this season.
Yeah, the thing about the flashbacks this season, it's what the flashback does is something happens in the past that helps him in the present. But the question is, what going on with the island has anything to do with what's going on with Damian Dust.
As much as I wasn't a fan of the flashbacks from last season, at least that thematically connected to the ongoing story.
Like, okay, who works for who? Does the guy on the island work for Damian Dark, or does Damian Dark work for the guy on the island? Like, who's working for who at this point?
Man, the Conklin character was so bland and uninteresting. I was actively happy he died. I was like, good!
Yeah, somebody like Conklin should have died weeks ago. Like, Oliver should have killed him all weeks ago, but for some reason they just dragged him out and... We need to see something resolved as far as the island goes. And then, here's the part that's confusing to me about the whole island thing. He's stuck on this island for 4 to 5 years. He's been missing.
5 years.
Well, no, because he was over in China or for a year, right? For last season.
Okay.
There's a lot of fucking activity with people coming on and off this island, yet he didn't. It took him 5 fucking years to get back home. Okay, the first season, you know, you got these mercenaries, right? So you're dealing with them. The second season, you had more people show the fuck up, and yes, he still can't get off the island. Then he gets off the island, he's sent back onto the island. At this point, how is it that everybody else leaves the island, but he's not going to leave the island at the end of this season?
I don't know.
And then, so... We're in season 4. What's going to keep him on this island one more year?
It better be something good. Can I bring up positives? Because I actually did find two positives of this episode.
That's what you're here for.
One. What?
That's what you're here for.
Yeah. I'm glad they finally got back to the damn mayoral election. I was like, oh yeah, you guys suddenly remembered that's a thing. And secondly, I like the direction of this episode. This is the second episode overall in this season directed by stunt coordinator and director James Bamford. I was like, he's actually got a good eye for the camera. He's really good with that. So I would be happy to see him do more episodes behind the director in the director's chair.
Well, the other thing is we need to start seeing what's the overall fucking plot plan of Hive. I mean, is this all about just ruling Star City, or just ruling the world? And Star City is the most important area that they need to rule the world. I mean, at this point, all we know so far is they're growing fucking corn in a warehouse somewhere underground. What the fuck is are they setting this up for?
I agree. Arrow this week, just another.
Why does Star City have to be destroyed in order to for their plans to go forward?
Yeah, I better get some answers soon. Arrow this week, just a bland average.
And what does the wife and the daughter has to do with all this? So, is the daughter inherently evil? She doesn't know what's going on. Like, we know the wife is fucking batshit crazy too. Like, whatever reasons Damian Dark has for being, you know, this evil Satanist, whatever he is. I'm not say he is a Satanist, but, you know, his little dark magic and all has something to do with his wife. But what does the daughter have to do with this? Is she, like, dying of some disease and they want to save her life? I mean, like... They need to really give us an explanation as to why he's trying to destroy the world and think that it's his place to reset mankind or whatever.
Yeah, I'm ready to move on from Arrow. I think I've said all I need to on that.
We're gonna skip some of the rest of the TV shows because
I'll just do a quick song. Agent Carter, really great this week. Legends of Tomorrow, best episode yet.
Yeah, Legend of Tomorrow was a pretty dense episode. So I'm trying to get back Professor Stein before they create a Soviet firestorm and you know, you got a little bit more character development between Heatwave and Ray Palmer, man, they really making him into like a what's the best way to say this?
Well, I feel like now the show is honestly starting to find its footing.
Like, okay, yeah, he played Superman one time. Superman will be the ultimate Boy Scout. But Ray Palmer walking up, hey, how you doing? It's like that. That's like an old joke from Stir Crazy when they first went to jail, and Gene Wilder walks in, saying hello to everybody like he's walking into a hotel room. Like, you're in a fucking prison, and you're like, hey, how you doing? Really, did they have to go that route with him? He's that dumb that he thinks that, oh, I can just be friendly with people in a fucking prison with killers and rapists. You still with me, Jordan? Hello?
Uh-oh. He was shocked about the killers and rapers and stuff. It traumatized him a little bit. Oh. It's funny, though, in these shows how much the similarities there are between the comic books and with the shows. I never thought we would be talking about television shows that consist of Earth 1 and Earth 2 and jumping back and forth between timelines. And I think it's really ambitious that we've reached an age where you can do that on a regular television show that everyone's going to watch.
I agree. That's just absolutely fantastic, and I'm really happy. See, again, that's the big reason why I love The Flash so much. It's willing to take these risks. It's unafraid to be like, we're a comic book.
Now, I better not see at the end of Legends of Tomorrow that everything that's happened is because, not like, okay, Rip Hunter goes back in time and grabs his people to stop Vandal Savage from destroying the future and hurting his family, right?
Yeah.
Now, if it turns out that all this happened because he took them back in time and, like he put... Like, his family got hurt because he went back in time in the first place, and it turns out all he has to do is stop them from going back in time, and everything will be all right.
I don't think they'll go that far. I don't think it'll go there.
Because that's a cop-out. If it's like,
I don't think it'll go there. I think even...
Because he's telling the dude, look, I've been looking at your wife's picture and your child's picture now for years now. I know what they look like. I'm coming for them. So... Like, when he meets them in the future, it's because of what's going on now. If he hadn't traveled back in time to try to stop this mother, maybe none of this would happen. So if they say, yeah, we're just going to prevent you from going back in time, and everything's going to set itself right, then I'm going to be pissed.
Well, hey, time travel is a wonky thing. Again, I got faith in the show. Again, it's now starting to find its footing. And I'm very much still in on this because it's only going to be 13 episodes.
And I'm starting to think that Captain Cold. I think he might be fluid in his sexuality on that show, but that just
okay.
He just comes across as like, you know, the right guy, and he becomes Captain Jack all, you know, in an instant.
That's a random thing to bring back up.
It's just the way he talks to Ray Palmer. It just seems like, I think he likes Ray in a way that he just doesn't want to admit to it.
Maybe. So are you gonna create a Tumblr hashtag for this pairing?
No, not really.
You know you wanna do it. Do it.
No. Oh, did I miss a phone call?
Oh.
Okay. No, okay. Sorry about the noise. Let's do some news because we are running out of time. We don't have all night, so.
We gotta get to the big stuff like
Deadpool. Well, yeah, Deadpool. You can already pre-order the the DVD and the digital copies of Deadpool, the Blu-ray.
Such a pre-order culture now. Holy crap.
Yeah,
how about like, in a movie when I'm ready to watch it?
It's been like that for the past year now. Like movies come out, and you can walk in the store and order the movie the week that it opens up. Yeah, in the...
I'm going to give them money for the movie to still in theaters.
It's... If a movie's that good, that's one thing. But a lot of times they're asking for pre-orders for a movie you haven't even seen yet.
You know, here's the thing. Well, it's like I don't pre-order anything unless I know I enjoy it. Like the Nailbiter hardcover. I love that. That's my favorite comic book being published right now. I knew I was going to get this, so I pre-ordered it. And look, I like the idea of pre-ordering. It's like, it's a guarantee. It's like, I like this thing. I would like to make sure I get it on set time. It's great.
You know what's important to me when I order a movie? The sale price. I want the cheapest movie possible. So me spending $30 up front, when maybe it might be on sale for $20 when it comes out, I can wait. They're not offering me anything for ordering it in advance. I'm not getting anything.
Way too soon. Way too soon for them to have the audacity to do a pre-order. And I love Deadpool. It was an awesome movie.
Well,
but you give me movie.
They've been pre-ordering Star Wars since it opened too. But that,
it should only take people's money when they're less prepared to give you the merchandise.
People should be where it's like a friend of mine. Like, he's a big Star Wars fan. He bought like 11 goddamn tickets for 11 separate showings of The Force Awakens before that movie even came out. Yeah. I was like,
Tickle Me Elmo hype.
You do not even know the movie's going to be good. It's like, okay, look, there's being a fan and there's being a fanboy and then there's being a fucking fanboy.
Yeah, right.
And it's a petition out to have Deadpool, not Ryan Reynolds, but Deadpool host Saturday Night Live.
Which will not happen. They've already put out a video saying it's like how that's what happened. Although I seriously call, I was like, well, you're not going to be able to properly animate Deadpool's eyes because that's a big part of the character.
I do think it is, and also
how's he going to see, like, you know, where he's going with the mask and whatnot.
Let's say they say, okay, let's have Ryan Reynolds do Deadpool for the entire show. He's not going to be able to say the edgier things he would say in the movies. Even in late night television, it's only so far they can go with the jokes. And he can't just curse or talk about dick jokes or whatever.
Where's all that, too?
It's like, That will be them being very presumptuous about the fact that everyone is a comic book and a Deadpool fan. Like, there are going to be people that watch Saturday Night Live don't know what the hell's going on.
The success of Deadpool is clearly showing it's having crossover effect. And also...
Not to the point we can have him reading headlines as Deadpool.
Well, yeah. I know. Jesus. It's proven that. But let me also say this. Why not just have Ryan Reynolds, you know, do a Deadpool host and do a Deadpool skit, like, you know, Chris Hemsworth hosted and he did a skit as Thor.
If he hosts, of course they would do a Deadpool skit. I mean, but
do an episode that's not part of the regular episode order. Do like a Saturday Night Live special with Deadpool that people can optionally view. That's not one of the episodes. It's because he's not... There are people who don't know who Deadpool are. As popular as it is, like, there are people who are not going to get it. You can't have a character.
I love Deadpool and all, but I don't need an SNL Deadpool episode.
People like us would find it hilarious. Like, even simple things like the ending where everyone's standing up and applauding at the end of the show. Just the fact that Deadpool's there as the host would be funny. But, again, there'd be people who are like, what the hell? Like, why is there a ninja on Saturday Night Live?
I'm just not feeling the immediate need to want this. That's just me. I don't feel I don't feel it's really necessary. It's like, hey, there's some things I would like, but it necessarily might not be the best idea. This being one of them. Even though I'm like, I don't really need a Deadpool SNL episode. I'm fine with my comics, my movie, and the video game.
Comics, movie, and video game. Now it's time to get all aboard on the Deadpool hype train.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Deadpool, it's mainstream enough now where everyone's going to want Deadpool stuff. He's in his boom period.
This Deadpool train is so crazy. Now, there's a town called Regina. Is it Regina or Regina?
Regina.
Regina. Yeah. Yes.
I was thinking that, you know, like this isn't that kind of a show, Surfer.
Well, no, it's a fucking family show. But
they wanted to put up a statue of Deadpool in the town of Regina,
Saskatchewan, yes. In Canada.
And because he said that he comes from a city that rhymes with fun, because he meant vagina. He was saying his town rhymes with vagina. That was the joke. And, of course, the mayor's like, no, but...
Yeah, he tweeted out, no, it's not happening.
But why would people want a fucking Deadpool statue?
Why would people... Okay. Well,
and I would be pissed off, too, if they managed to get that statue, because I'm thinking to myself, if they managed to get their Deadpool statue out there before I get my Jane from Firefly statue in New York, I will be pissed.
Now, somebody mentioned to me that about Detroit having RoboCop, but...
Well, yeah. Okay, well, to be fair, one, RoboCop would actually help in Detroit, for fuck's sake.
Detroit is actually the way, Detroit now is the way it was in the actual RoboCop movie.
Yeah, so it honestly is.
Yeah, they need a RoboCop out there.
Yeah,
should you know what? Explain to different states why they can't have statues of superheroes.
You know, goddammit, I want my tax dollars going to something useful. Start the RoboCop program. let's go to change.org and start petitioning the government to start getting on that. Who is with me?
I don't know. Depends on how they'll take it.
I'm taking it as a yes.
Jordan, I have bad news for you. It's too late for you to get San Diego Comic-Con badge. The badge is sold out in an hour's time, so...
Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean like again?
That. Well, it's not really a fair statement when it says that the badge is sold out in an hour, because most badges are bought at the previous year's Comic-Con. So a lot of the badges are already sold out when they go on sale to the public. Like, if you go to Comic-Con this year, you can buy next year's badge while you're still there, which a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So...
And so I'm hoping this year for New York Comic Con that Surfer is going to be my hookup. Well, how about it, Surfer?
We can try.
Yeah. What about your faithful little co-host as well?
Well, I don't have no place to put you up. You know, that's why
I got friends in New York.
Now I need a place to stay too. Shit.
Okay, you give me the tickets, I'll bring you along.
Yeah, we could rock the press passes. You bring me the tickets, I'll give you a place to crash.
Yeah, I'll sleep in Rick's basement.
That's all off-air stuff. Let's not...
All right, so, okay, but the airwaves. Big news of the week is Rebirth. Rebirth, Rebirth, Rebirth. What the hell is DC talking about with this Rebirth? Well, at the Comics Pro retailers get together out in Oregon, home of Hipsters and a great sketch show on IFC, Geoff Johns finally announced what it is. Rebirth is the idea of taking DC back to basics. Like, he wants to recapture and make known the elements of what makes the DC universe so great, what made them so memorable, while moving the characters forward, and that every book now on DC will be a fixed price of $2.99. Every book. Now, there will be an 80-page one-shot called Rebirth, written by Geoff Johns, out May 25th, with art by Ethan Van Sciver, Ivan Reyes, Gary Frank, and Phil Jimenez. And along with the other bits of news, Action Comics and Detective Comics are going to go back to their original numbering with Action Comics number 957 and 934, respectively, and the whole big... And there will be some books that are done, that'll be... that'll go to twice monthly publishing, namely the big ones that's like, oh, they have a movie, or, oh, they have a TV show, so let's really get that out there. And the full line has been introduced. First off, before every number one comes out, each book will get a rebirth number one issue. Kind of like, you know, zero issue preview and whatnot. So, in June, the twice monthly books will be Aquaman, Batman, The Flash, Green Arrow, Green Lanterns, Superman, and Wonder Woman. And Action Comics and Detective Comics. July, shipping twice monthly, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, Justice League number one, Nightwing. And new monthly books will be Batgirl, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, The Hellblazer, Red Hood and the Outlaws, The Superman, and Titans. And for the fall, twice monthly books will be Cyborg, Deathstroke, Harley Quinn, Justice League America, and Suicide Squad. And monthly books will be Batman Beyond, Blue Beetle, Earth 2, Gotham Academy, Next Semester, Supergirl, Superwoman, Super Sons, Teen Titans, and Trinity.
You know what? I don't see the point of $2.99 books if I have to buy twice a month. I mean,
so what happens to the regular books?
Well, obviously Midnighter's not coming back, which is a shame because that's a really damn good book at DC. And Omega Man is still fated to end with issue 12. But again, I just listed all the books that are going to be in DC Rebirth. And allow me to say, I'm actually liking what I'm hearing.
Yeah, but DC. Why do they always have to have these kind of things? Why does everything always have to be changed up and things rebooted back to number one?
Because they're not making the money they want to make. That's why.
Yeah, you got to keep things interested. And there's still this mentality that maybe the people from the movie. Look, there will be some people that will be interested in the comics after seeing either the movies or the TV shows. But it's not going to be everyone. And they kind of need to stop thinking about that. I mean, yeah, it's great. That's great if, you know, someone comes in after Batman and Batman v Superman is like, I kind of want to read some more Batman. Is there anything new? Oh, let me show you this run by Scott Snyder and whatnot. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't always happen. Plus,
they just want things messy with these over and over again, changing everything back to number one.
Plus, this is DC. This is like
the whole new 52 thing. Has been kind of a failure in a way.
Yeah, and with going back this way, and what it seems like it'll be reverting to the DC of old before Flashpoint. It feels like that. Not just with the renumbering of Action and Detective Comics, which, by the way, we will actually get our legitimate Action Comics number 1000, which will be a great event, hopefully. Again, it's like we want to go back and refocus on what makes DC great. Why do we love these characters? Why do our readers love these characters and this universe? Why? What is it that brings them in? And I like that mentality. It's just not like throw the baby out with the dishwater and whatnot. That like the new 52 was. This honestly feels like a great attempt at DC to really get back to basics, but it's still DC. I'm hopeful for Rebirth. I am very hopeful for Rebirth, but I am cautious as all hell.
You know what, though? It's a great idea for until the next idea. That's the way it feels like with them. Like, this is a great idea for now until the next idea invalidates this idea. It almost sounds, you know, it sounds a lot like, it sounds like TNA. Not to bring too much wrestling to this, but it sounds like TNA.
Oh, jeez.
You hear, hey, look, we're gonna. This is a fresh start for everyone, and it's not like it was last month. And it just happens over and over and over.
I think it's now officially an insult to compare anything to TNA.
Some people have that idea that comics need to restart every couple of years anyway. Like
it really shouldn't.
They think it makes it more accessible to new readers if you start over at number one, as opposed to which. You know, Marvel does the same thing. They just don't wipe out their own history. Like, yeah, they'll start at number one every 2 years, 2-3 years. They just ain't gonna act like, what happened with the Avengers didn't happen.
Yeah, and I know I said I'm hopeful for Rebirth, but I also do want to bring up the one thing I'm not a fan of, twice monthly publishing, because I've just never really been a big fan of that, because sometimes the art gets inconsistent on the book. It's like, I need a fill-in. This is too much for
me. I think you're defeating the purpose of going down to $2.99 if you're going to make me spend buy two books a month, you know, to keep
Yeah, it's like, story. Oh, I got Batman number one and two this month. I love the monthly publishing structure of comic book single issues. That's great. That works for me.
You can do a twice monthly book once in a blue moon, but
yeah, well, we
when
know,
you try to
well,
make it a consistent thing of...
Walking like, Dead is bi-monthly sometimes, right?
Yeah, sometimes. But Marvel's been a big practitioner of twice monthly publishing. They've been doing that for the longest time, especially with Dan Slott's Spider-Man, be it amazing or superior and whatnot.
Well, Spider-Man at one time was coming out like weekly.
Yeah, no, at one point it was like three times a month. It was
like Amazing Spider-Man was coming out every week.
And that's problematic because you're kind of forcing the writer to get up. I mean, hey, it's a great motivator to get the writer off his ass. But look, the art will suffer. For the art of a book to remain pristinely consistent and nicely done to the story, monthly's the way to go.
Hey, Jack Kirby used to crank out books all the time. Some of these artists, they need to man up.
True, but now we got Netflix.
How many books did Jack Kirby do in a month? He did multiple books.
You bring up a good point.
I'm thinking
strongly because honestly, Surfer, like there's a lot of art. It's like their stuff is just coming out, but late, you know, or you're hearing that it's going to come out and it doesn't. It gets really annoying. The buildup. It's like release these books already. I think part of being a good comic book artist isn't just being able to draw and being talented, but it's how fast you can get your shit out.
Well, here's the thing. Well, I'd also like to argue. There will never be another Jack Kirby.
How many books does Stan Lee used to write in a month?
Everyone should strive to be like that, you know.
But look, you both bring up a good point. But I'm just saying, monthly's the way to go. All right, in order to really, because I think it's not just for the artist, but also the consistency of the book.
That's true too. I agree with that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point I'm making. If an artist is, like, say, you know, if they could bang out two free full issues of art within a single month, that's great. But again, I'd rather have the book a sense of consistency over time.
That's the absolute minimum amount that it should be is once a month. Because if I have to wait for your book to launch, like if it's a damn Blizzard game, then there's a problem. You know, so once a month is about as long as it should be. Bi-monthly does work for good books. Like, we've seen it work with good books. So it really depends. I think you have to take it on a title-for-title case, you know?
Well, yeah, and again, as you notice from what I listed off, the ones getting twice monthly publishing... Arlette's like, oh, these characters are gonna be big and big and small screen. Better push the fuck out of them. But speaking of DC, they listed some exclusive contracts this week. Tom King, writer Tom King, and artist Clayman and John Timms are now exclusive DC talents. They'll produce comic book work solely for DC Comics and the Vertigo imprints.
How many Vertigo books they got out right now?
About 12.
You think Vertigo has suffered?
Wait, 13. There was a new one. Well, again, they just had that big line relaunch across the board at Vertigo. That's been successful for the most part. And I there have been books before that, like, you know, constant miniseries and some ongoings like Coffin Hill and whatnot. I think they stumbled a bit. I just don't think it's struck. I would say stumble more than I would struggle when it comes to Vertigo.
I want to go with the movies real quick because I will believe it when it opens in a theater about a Blade Runner sequel.
I don't want that.
They've been talking about Blade Runner now for decades.
Don't do it. Just leave it alone.
And, of course, Harrison Ford would return. And also, Ryan Gosling would be in it. I think that would make a lot of people happy if he was one of the stars of Blade Runner. Like, I guess they would pass the franchise on to him, and he would take over from that point if they went forward with more than one sequel.
But yeah, I don't want more Blade Runner.
The thing about Blade Runner, I was there when it was in the theater, and nobody saw it. Nobody saw that movie. And yet, it had a cult following, and it became more appreciated as time went on. But I don't know if a sequel would make any money in the theater. I mean, the original one was a box office failure. So,
yeah, again, it's set for
January 12th, 2018. January, that's not a good time for movie releases, for movies being released anyway.
Nope.
Unless you are some kind of a war movie, it seemed like, you know, like
or a Liam Neeson.
Yeah, you know, if your daughter gets kidnapped, sure.
Other movie news. I think I've made my undying love of Kingsman known on this show.
I was just watching that yesterday.
Yeah, you showed Kingsman at one point, Surfer.
Say it again now.
I said you showed me a little Kingsman at one point, Surfer.
I want to show you the whole thing.
Yeah, good. Really weird beginnings. You know, I didn't expect that guy to get cut like that. I won't spoil too much, but I was like, what the hell is going on here?
A Kingsman sequel is happening and is slated to be released next June. And Julianne Moore has been approached in talks for a role as the villain of the movie. Moore right now is currently set to co-star in Todd Haynes' new picture, Wonderstruck, with Matt Damon and Josh Brolin.
Julianne Moore, she usually plays a compelling villain when she does take on roles like that.
I would love if she could play it. Because they're also talking about exploring the American side of Kingsman within the sequel, which is something I would be fascinated by.
What movie was she in recently where she was the bad person? I'm trying to rethink.
What movie?
Julianne Moore. What movie was she in that she played the bad guy recently? Hold on, let me look it up.
I'm gonna look that up. I don't remember.
She can be a bitch, and I don't. Hunger Games. It was Hunger Games. She was a bad guy in Hunger Games.
Wait, was she a good guy? I mean,
no. She turned out to be a bad guy.
Oh. Well, okay, I haven't seen any Mockingjay part, but whatever. You are lucky I'm not spoiler-phobic at all.
Well, I don't know if I spoiled anything. You know, there's a lot of bad people in the Hunger Games movies. And she was one of them. So. She's 55. She look 55 to you?
What'd you say?
She's 55. Does she look 55 to you?
Oh, man. She is beautiful. Just.
Yeah, she came a long way from Boogie Nights.
And I really love that movie.
Who doesn't love Boogie Nights? You've seen Boogie Nights, haven't you, Rick?
Yeah, of course.
It's a great movie.
It's a classic, man. Really, really crazy. The whole roller girl thing and everything. Wow.
I think that's also the one time it's like, okay, no one else needs to use Sister Christian. It will not be used better than this movie.
So many people, it was in that movie, like, when you saw them, like they had familiar faces, but they weren't really stars. And, like, now so many have gone on to be such stars. That
I did not know that Alfred Molina and Thomas Jane were in this movie until after I'd seen them in other things. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I knew about Thomas Jane and Alfred Molina. They, like,
Well, you had decades on me when Boogie Nights came out.
They should have just said that was the John Holmes movie, but because it was more of a John Holmes movie than the actual John Holmes movie that they made. What was that called? Wonderland.
I believe it was. Yeah.
Trailer dropped for Orphan Black. That'll be back on in
April at a new night.
And Rick Thursday. Rick hasn't watched Orphan Black yet.
All right, get the hell off our show.
I don't even know what it is.
Well, the premise is about this woman. It takes place in Canada. She's on this platform and she sees this woman who's like kills herself, and the woman looks exactly like her. So she steals the woman's identity to take her money, and then she finds out that the woman that whose identity she stole was a clone, and that she's a clone, and there's other clones. And they're part of this massive experiment from all these shady fucking groups. And what makes the main lead unique is she did something she wasn't supposed to be able to do, which was have a child of her own.
Yeah.
Each clone, you know, the person who plays the clone, she has to play a different personality. But there's two of the clones, I mean, they have a unique ability to fuck shit up. And main character, they keep messing with this girl and they keep messing with her. And she just she just burns the world down around her because they just won't leave her alone. Like, these evil organizations, if they would just walk away from her, like, the rest of the clones wouldn't stand a chance except for her twin sister who's, like, crazy, but they keep coming back to fucking with her, and she just brings destruction everywhere she goes, and she doesn't even try. It just happens. It's really fucked up when you see how far the conspiracy goes with all these clones. Then, like last year, you found that there was male clones, and all the clones came from one source. There was like a woman who they cloned both males and females from. And the male clones are even crazier than the female clones. And they're unstable and they're half dying.
All right, don't say the whole thing.
No, I'm just saying, like...
It sounds kind of crazy, yeah. Is this based on anything?
No, it's original idea. It's
original programming that came out with BBC and...
BBC America.
Well, it's not on BBC?
No, it's BBC America.
Wait, don't they show it over in England too?
I think they might, but this is a strictly BBC
America. No, we get it here on BBC America, but it's a BBC show.
Okay, here it is. It is produced by Temple Street Productions and distributed internationally by BBC Worldwide.
Right, okay, so it's a BBC.
But it's mainly BBC America.
Because that's what we have here. We're in America.
Right. Yeah, BBC. Yeah, no. Again, BBC America is the network that picked up the show.
Never mind. I can't argue with you about that. It's not important.
I'm sorry. I have the facts in front of me.
Yeah, screw your facts. What you a Republican? Or
don't
something?
Sound like a GOP candidate because, right now.
Because only Republicans have facts.
Don't. No. They deny facts. That's the thing.
I got bad news for you, people. If you have not met Stan Lee in person, your chances of beating him are dwindling. Because he's not going to be doing many more conventions at this point.
Really? Where did you hear this?
Well, he's doing some of his final... appearance in Canada. So, really? Fan Expo in Canada in September will be his final appearance in that country, so.
Holy crap.
Well, the man's in his 90s, so.
Yeah, but he's still healthy.
You know, I've heard about him having different health problems as of late. You know, not like he's dying, but his demand at conventions, I mean, I'm surprised he still does them at this point, because he showed up at a convention. He's there the whole day signing autographs and taking pictures, and he's working that entire day. It's not like he's just there for an hour or two, then he's out. So, I'm quite sure at this point, doing all these conventions is just too much for him. So,
well, yeah. I mean, you know, spring chicken, but I even imagine it's like, you know, people periodically space out their con appearance and be like, I can do this. Now I just want to chill at home, do nothing.
Because I got his autograph when it was free. All you had to do was just wait in line. Now you got to spend a couple $100 to get his autograph. So
fuck that.
And people pay it too. Like like if there's a Stan Lee badge, it sells out like every time. People pay the price to meet and get an autograph from Stan Lee and take a picture with him. So
can't blame him.
Now, we talked about Deadpool and the effect it's going to have on movies, comic book movies. Now they're talking about doing Wolverine, the third and final Wolverine is an R-rated movie. Good idea, bad idea?
It should have always been an R-rated movie.
It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
But
Wolverine's a violent character.
Yes, but...
Well, I guess now
It was tied into the X-Men, which isn't R-rated. Now, the last Wolverine movie, there is a R-rated version that's on Blu-ray, where the theatrical version was pretty violent. It didn't have a lot of blood, but they did up it for the Blu-ray. How much violence can a R-rated Wolverine movie? I mean, are we seeing, like, limbs flying left and right and blood squirting everywhere?
I feel like Fox is like, well, gee, I guess people do want the R-rated superheroes. It's like, we've had R-rated comic books before.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a foreign concept, Fox.
And then would an R-rated Wolverine movie create biggest sales for the franchise, or would it hurt the franchise because now the little kiddies can't go see their favorite?
Oh, parents are gonna bring their kids anyway. Because again, this is America where they're fine with their kids seeing utterly violent things. But the moment sex comes up, it's like, oh my!
Yeah, because sex is evil.
No, it's not.
It
sex
is.
Sex is a wonderful, beautiful
sex,
thing.
Sex is naughty. And
it's naughty fun.
The problem with sex is you end up touching your naughty bits to each other, and that's
nasty. What's wrong with that? It sounds fun.
It's not.
It's my kind of night.
It's all it gets all sticky and wet when that happens. You don't want that, okay? It's
bad. And if you've ever listened to our Jessica Jones shows, you know from there that it's even more of a taboo thing when they're mixed gender genitals, right, Surfer?
No. You keep bringing that up.
It's better if it's like, hey, I agree that your genitals can touch my genitals. Do not forcibly let your... Again, the lesson here, consent. Make sure your genitals has permission to touch other genitals. That's what we're saying.
What y'all think about that Daredevil trailer?
Yes! Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Part one came out, there's a part two. Daredevil's coming out in a couple weeks, so...
No, month.
That's basically a couple weeks.
What?
When I say a couple weeks, I don't mean like exactly two, but we're not that far away from Devil.
Well, I'm definitely excited. I hope this second trailer focuses more on Electra,
even the Punisher sound like Shane when he goes bang.
Well, I really like this trailer. It sets up a lot, and again, it's very much everything I want in an adaptation of Daredevil. It looks so good, and you know the whole morality questioning around the actions of Daredevil being brought up. That's going to be great. Again, John Bernthal to me just seemed like perfect casting for Daredevil. Punisher, right at the start. That was like, yeah, no brainer. But again, I'm a little bit more excited and worried about Elektra because they need to do Elektra right. She's been done wrong twice, and I like that little appearance she makes at the end. So again, I'm hoping the second trailer is more like, I want more Elektra. I want to know because I really ain't seen this actress anywhere.
Well, I'm surprised they have not tried to bring in Bullseye yet. But I guess
yeah. Well, hey, we're getting Stick again, and hey, maybe they'll fully confirm that person he was talking to at the end of his episode was Stone, and we can get chased.
I'm not totally caught up on the Daredevil lore in the comics, but you know,
I know Daredevil inside.
Speaking of comics, I know you lost your...
like that one where he turned the evil. Remember that one arc they did a few years ago?
Jeez, that was stupid.
That was terrible. Nobody liked it.
Yeah, come on. It wasn't bad.
No.
You're referring to Shadowland? Yeah, Shadowland was not good.
Everybody thought that was a fail. Really, really did.
See him kill Bullseye, right?
Listen, I'm sorry. There's no way Daredevil should beat Shang-Chi in a fucking fight. Just no way. For some reason, they wrote Shang-Chi losing to Daredevil. He's talking about, I'm no longer the master of Kung Fu. It was terrible.
Yeah, I like the idea of him not being a goody-two-shoes character for a while.
Yeah, that concept wasn't bad. They just fumbled the way they did it.
I think it got fumbled once he turned out to be possessed or whatever it was that they did at the end, that it was weird. That's what really ruined it.
What are you talking about? Shang fucking Chi. That's what I really want to see in a Netflix show. Shang-Chi. I really do. Some international... him being like some kind of international spy and everything. But they would... They would
never. That'd be badass.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of comics... your Bulls came out this week. Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah! Oh my god, I love that issue.
You know, overall, everybody loving that first issue.
Yeah, no, again, it was very much like old school Heroes for Hire, but very much now. And I found that the issue very overall entertaining. It's like, you got to get the Danny and Luke just right together, not just separately, but together. And that and this issue accomplishes that. It helps that it's from the writer of the Shaft comic at Dynamite, David F. Walker, who brings that same sort of street-level crime feel to this, and it's great.
What kind of history does Luke Cage have with Tombstone?
They used to intersect when Luke was on, like, the wrong side of the tracks.
Because, you know, he walked in, he was like, yeah, they were cool, you know, in a way. It was like, it was one of those things where... You know, they kind of stay out of each other's way, but, you know.
They used to cross each other's paths within the Heroes for Hire. And he was in, and he once intervened with a gang war between Tombstone,
I don't like the
Hammer, and...
I don't like the way Tombstone was drawn, though. He looked a little.
I like the art.
I thought it looked a little too.
What?
Stereotypical.
Well, I like the art in the issue. It was a bit cartoony, but I liked the design and how it fit with the tone and feel that the book was going for.
I don't know. It just seemed a bit old school.
That's what I liked about it.
No, I mean old school stereotypical.
Well, I know they used to cross paths like
borderline racist, but that's just me. Maybe I'm reading into things.
Yeah,
I just didn't like the way he looked. I didn't like it, but.
The connection between Luke Cage and Tombstone isn't a big thing. They've crossed paths before, but. Again, the bigger continuity stuff is the return of Jenny Royce, who is a former Heroes for Hire employee, and they nicely get her backstory out of the way and how she's adjusting. And I'm not going to spoil who shows up at the end, like the end reveal of who the villain is, but man, that is a classic. That is a classic villain from Luke Cage, and not just him, but Heroes for Hire, and I'm excited about that. Power Man Iron Fist number 1 is a stellar debut. This needs to be read. Go pick it up.
Did you read it, Rick?
I don't think that I did, actually, no.
Oh, okay. You plan on reading it?
Yeah, I'll take it under advisement after hearing Jordan put it over the way he did, for sure.
Yes, and if you want to read more of my thoughts, you could go by the site DontHateTheGeek.com, where I wrote a full review of it.
Nice. Good plug there, too.
Wink. I'll do both. I advise you to do it.
Well, we...
What have you been reading this week?
What have you been reading this week?
I caught up on Saga.
I got so many books I haven't even looked at. Thor, fantastic. So much happened in that issue. Her dealing with the whole light versus dark elves and dealing with Odin. They finally going to slug it out next issue, Thor and Odin. Avengers was... I was expecting more out of Avengers so far.
Which one? The All New, All Different?
Yes.
Yeah, wasn't there something with Kamala getting fired or something?
Yeah,
from
they
the group
told her she's no longer part of the team. I don't think that's going to
She
last
got me. Framed, and there was a big issue. Yeah, like, I did read an issue that I think that was the last one.
I guess there's something wrong with Vision, you know? Maybe somebody that took... Like, he's being controlled or something because he's trying to blackmail characters and... Like, why would he just record what's going on and then show it to everybody else?
Who knows? I've given up on the Vision book. I'm just not enjoying it. I caught up on Saga. That's still an amazing book. Huck by Mark Millar. That's a charming read right there.
Yeah, I read the Silver Surfer, and it's funny. They did one of those things where Dawn Greenwood meets what's her name?
I haven't read it yet. I need to catch up on Silver Surfer.
Who's the blind girl again? Why am I blanking on her name?
I'm blanking too. Again, I need
part
to catch
of the Fantastic
up.
Four. Who's the blind chick?
Alicia Masters.
Alicia Masters, right? So they meet her for the first time, and Dawn's feeling kind of funny. Like, so I'm not the first woman to travel with you. There's been other women. It's like she's feeling. She thought she was special, and she's realizing she's a long line of women to ride on the board.
Noah's special.
It's a storyline they do in Doctor Who from time to time. It's like the companion gets that realization. I'm not the first female to travel with the Doctor.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, given the heavy Doctor Who influence that this book has had.
Right.
Spider-Woman. I caught up. I read all four issues of the current Spider-Woman book. I love... Spider-Woman right now is the best book in the Spider-Man line that Marvel's got going on right now. I will stand by that. Spider-Woman is fun. It's exciting. And actually, I just had one of my favorite takes on the whole Die Hard plot structure with the whole space hospital and the black hole. And, of course, the hero being a very pregnant Spider-Woman who's ready to give birth at almost any moment. Man, I loved it. Dennis Hopeless is the writer. He's doing a great job. And Javier Rodriguez's art is spectacular. It's just amazing. It's got great designs. I really can't recommend this book enough.
Well, let's see. We're running out of time, so we need to, I guess, go one more story real quick. What do you want to do? Legion? Airbender?
Let's do Airbender.
Negan? Who's Negan?
Negan. Okay, fine. We'll go with Negan. So, in preparation of Negan's appearance...
I'm just saying, make it quick.
Negan, in preparation of upcoming Negan's appearance, in May, in Image Plus, a 64-page magazine distributed alongside Diamond Comics Distributors' monthly preview catalog, there will be a new serialized story about Negan's origin. The Walking Dead story will be by the Walking Dead creative team of... excuse me, Robert Kirkman and Charlie Adlar in 4-page installments in Image Plus's first 12 issues that will uncover the origin of Negan.
Who's Negan?
He's a bad motherfucker.
Well, we would go on with more stories, but we are running out of time, so I'm going to tell you about all the fine programming here on Rant EM Radio. And when this show's over in a few minutes, don't go nowhere because we got the post show of the WWE Fastlane coming up.
Followed by we have the pre-show.
No, it's the post show. The pre-show's not till 11 o'clock.
You're never going to let him live that down, are you?
So, Rick's going to be hosting the Fastlane pre-show. I'll be on in other celebrities from the Rant EM family. And then tomorrow night, we'll be Talk Brunch Live at 11:30, where Rick and Jen and Mick Wrestling will go over a detailed recreation of The Walking Dead from tonight. Plus, they'll talk about the pay-per-view for tomorrow and other wrestling news. Tuesday night will be The Rant at 8 p.m., followed by a special anniversary issue of Freaks and Effing Geeks live primetime at 9:30 p.m. So if you're not up late to listen to Freaks and Geeks, this Tuesday will be your time to listen to it. And then this Wednesday, I believe it's this Wednesday, will be that damn Black Achiever Awards, the second annual, hosted by Tony C and that foolishness. So
a great time to be alive.
Yeah, okay. If you say so.
I'm black, apparently.
So he'll give out all the fake awards for being black in wrestling and black in life and everything. So Black Achiever, well, I think that's at 9 p.m. Wednesday. Thursday at 9 p.m. will be Rant and Wrestling. Friday night will be Turnbuckle Throwbacks Live, Phil and Dave. And this coming Saturday at 11 will be the Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan. And his guest will be Buff Bagwell. So tune in to listen to what Buff has to say, because Buff has the stuff. And we'll be back next Sunday at our regular time of 5 p.m. with a full show to What Are You Reading Comic Book Show.
Damn right.
And we'll go over all the different TV shows and the news and the reviews, and maybe have something special in mind. Who knows?
Yeah, and if someone dies on Walking Dead tonight, of course you're going to talk about that, right? I may even jump in.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we're going to bring up everything, so.
Please kill Daryl.
No. You know,
you might get Negan, I'm telling you.
I don't think he's going to show up this soon, but he could show up. They could have him show up right away. I don't know. I'm surprised they have not continued the love affair between Daryl and Carol. You know, they did make love once. I do remember that. When Daryl was all laid up and everything. Was that?
That was your fan fiction.
No, I could have swore that they got it on. Like, after, remember when Daryl got shot by Andrea and all, because he was out there looking for Carol's daughter and everything. And I thought Carol showed her appreciation to him, but maybe I read more into it than I thought. So,
as far as I've seen in the show, Daryl's been keeping his appreciation in his pants.
I see what you did there.
Well, somebody need to tell Daryl it's okay to take a shower from time to time, but
please, you know, goddamn, motherfucker!
Everybody else is taking a shower since they've been to Alexandria.
Yeah, you have hot water now, Daryl.
I know. Yeah, hot water. They had a lot of hot water last week.
Yeah, at least Daryl, wash your hair. I mean, otherwise those spikes are gonna cause infection.
I mean, God.
By the way, I am legitimately glad. Hey, look, committing the last few moments of the show
from
the hygiene.
From the time they all got thrown out of the prison to the time they got to Alexander, I get it. Them looking dirty and disheveled and all, it was a necessity of life, you know. But
ain't no one got time to worry about how they smell.
All right, so let me say goodbye so I can save the audio and Rick can get the show started in a few minutes. So don't go nowhere, people. Live will be the Fastlane pay-per-view, and it'll be up next here live on Rant EM Radio. Everybody say goodbye.
Later.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.